So here's a question. You people who are interested in past lives, why are you interested in past lives? Anybody want to answer that? I guess I should ask, why is anybody interested in any of this stuff? You're not even interested in what it's like being you. What is the purpose of all this to you that we're talking about?
Well, I was going to say the interest in past lives. I was thinking about it last week. It seemed to me that's what past lives and past life regressions give you, is information, image of what it's like being you. I always found that profoundly interesting.
Is that what it's like being you, or is that what it's like being loner you?
I think you're right. I think, Missy, I think it's about, I think that's what it's like being loner you. It's just that even that was so much more information than I'd had before.
The only thing I got from anyone this week except for Patrick, which blew it off on a wrong question, was, that's an interesting question. I've never heard of that question before. But isn't that, in essence, isn't that the whole of life? What is it like being you is everything. If it's not, please tell me what's more than that. And we never did talk about promise. I got to talking about what it's like being you. But what is promise? In '02, we did a gathering on declared self and purpose. And declared self and purpose is no different than your abiding self and promise. Your purpose in life is not a thing you do or achieve, it is the way you live your life. And promise as a religion is, your true religion is the self and life you are living. That is your true religion. And that is in itself your abiding self. That is your promise and abiding self. So what is it like being you, living whatever you're living? How do you think we can discuss promise if you won't answer that question?
I've got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I heard you say that whatever it is that I'm living, that is what it is like to be me. That is, I think you said, my abiding self. Did I mishear that?
No. No, meaning no, you didn't mishear that. You didn't like to hear it, but you didn't mishear it.
No, okay, then there is no good or better, best way of what it's like to be me.
I think I've said that for 20 years.
So whatever I am living right now, what it is like to be me.
That's it. That's your abiding self. That's your promise.
All right.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to ask, if I'm not entirely...
Let me ask you this question, Patrick.
I beg your pardon?
Let me ask you this question. Maybe that'll help it. Do you think there's any difference from waking up every morning and getting out of bed than getting born? Your everyday life is exactly the same as being born.
I chuckle to myself here, Roger, because it never occurred to me, but now that you've raised it...
That's why I've said always that your dreams... those talk about you in a personal sense, but talk about you in an eternal sense. And you dream every night, so waking up is awaking from eternal to particular. And there's no difference between that and being born. And my question is, if you were interested in past lives, what would you do if you got to somewhere and this is your first past life? What would you say? What would you do? Why would you want to be there? Why would you ask what would you ask the person at that point? Would you ask the person, this is your first life, what is it like being alive? So what I've said before, if we can't agree on this is your first life, I said weeks ago, we can't even begin to talk anymore. So here we are. This is your first life.
What's it like?
What is it like being you, being alive?
Son of a gun. Yeah, I can see that really, really clearly now.
And when we talk about promises you made before coming alive, promises you made before you woke up. And those promises are the way you live. The seminar we did in 02 called Your Declared Self and Purpose. Purpose at that point was not a thing that you do or something that you achieve. Purpose was the self and life you're living. And in fact is, I gave you a book of many pages that was a sort of an I Ching format. And if I look at it, it says, your declared self and purpose is always living and revealing.
Right.
Purpose is your promise. To always live and reveal what? In this case, I'm reading number 3. Always living and revealing that all difficulties are self-created and self-imposed. 13 years ago, I was discussing all of this stuff.
From the first. And we got the promise cards.
Then the promise cards was done in 06. Nobody did anything with the declared self. It's a declared self is not what you say or not what you mouth, and neither is promise. It's the way you live. And it is the life that you are living is your abiding self.
So, Roger, if I'm, living things that I don't truly desire, if I'm living
you're doing that, it doesn't make any difference. It's like Patrick just said, it's not a matter of good, better, best, or desire, mm-hmm. don't desire. You're living things that you don't desire. That's mm-hmm. what you're putting into your abiding self, your eternal self.
Right. That's true. I actually see that. Okay.
So then the purpose of, let's assume you're living things you don't desire. What is it like being you is a important question. If you don't even, or if you're not even willing to look at that, then you can't.
Can I clarify something on that last week? It seemed that asking that broad question, we were.
That is not a broad question. That's not a broad question.
Wait. It seemed that we really got somewhere when the question was, what is it like being you doing something? I think you said that was the way to properly ask it. Is that true?
Well, that's because doing something is living or being, existing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't exist without doing. You
right.
can't be so without doing. So Patrick answered that, what it was like in his doing.
Mm-hmm.
And all I was trying to get you to focus on, everything that we've been talking about from the get-go has only about doing. Doing, what would you
right.
be willing to be and live eternally is the same as what would you be willing to do eternally. If you're going to live, you got to do. You can't live, mm-hmm. be alive and not do. Mm-hmm. Or if you do, you are alive. If you don't do, you're not alive. End of discussion.
Right.
And
I understood it's based on actions, yes.
That's been all along, everything that we've talked about. But you guys, Andrew, you're the worst one of this, talking about declared self. You're always like a privileged being. You're always willing to speak up. And I'm asking you, what are you willing to shut up and do? Don't tell me, like a promise, don't tell me unless you're going to do it. And in fact, what you say you promise is nothing to do with necessarily what you are promising. What you are promising is exactly what you are doing. That's what you're doing. If you are doing things you don't desire, then you are promising things you don't desire.
Yeah, that was pretty clear. That came through pretty clear to me last week. It seemed that the best way to get a real definitive, I guess, description of what one is like is when you have a particular action on doing anything.
I didn't ask you what one is like. What one is like
is what it is like being you. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
What is it like being you?
Right. Okay. Point. Yeah, good point.
Well, it sure puts I thought here was an important question, one we discussed 13 years ago. And everybody should have at least some kind of interest in it. And it's your life. So my question still stands, what is it like being you? If you don't care, I sure as hell don't care. And if you don't care, I'm not going to make any presentation about it. That's up to you. Remember I said, was it last week or a week before that? If I'm going to make a presentation and nobody's going to do their share, then it might be 15 minutes long. We're into this thing about 15 minutes, and I'm ready to hang it up. I don't mind telling you.
Andrew?
Yep?
What is it like being you?
You see how interesting that is? Isn't that interesting to you?
I think that's vitally important for me to even know.
That's what I
said. I think it'd be interesting for you, Andrew. But now that I've got a smidgen of what this is about,
shouldn't that be interesting for you to know of Karen and Karen of you?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on inside of you? What is it like being you in there?
Yeah, instead of what you like to project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want to appear to be?
Yeah.
What's it like being you inside there?
Right, like, boy, ask that question, and it's like, I feel like I'm put on the spot. I get really nervous dealing with that question or trying to...
But then your whole life is flashed before your eyes. That's the only thing that matters to you, what it's like being Andrew or Patrick or Karen.
Yeah, I have to say, it's probably what most of my... life is spent churning over and over and over. I mean, daily stuff for sure, but the main thing is, you know, I guess I always thought I was trying to figure out how to live in each moment, but maybe that pales in comparison to just, I guess what?
Well, you got to know to start with what it's like being you in order how to live what it's like being you, how to live that.
Okay, so to know what it's like being me in this moment as a starter is if tell me if I understand this, it is to stop and describe to myself what it's like being me in each moment right now.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, I just wanted to make sure, because what I noticed that Pat did a good job with last week when he was going was he talked about the action, but he also described the environment, like it's what he sensed of the environment, like time
stopped. What's wrong with that?
He felt expansive. No, nothing. Those were actually very helpful, you know, cues. Because I got to say, like, you know, when I'm sitting here on this question of, like, what's it like being me, and I start to panic or I start to get nervous about it, it's like my world shrinks. It's like everything I feel very myopic or very, like, things closed in around me, and I can't think real clearly. Maybe I'm actually trying to avoid.
Maybe you don't want to think.
Like being me.
Maybe that's a question you don't want to think about.
Uh-huh.
What?
Possibly, yeah.
Your world should expand,
mm-hmm.
not shrink in on you.
Remember what I said last week, Andrew, that what was really helpful for me is finding a way to step aside, not necessarily go to where Roger suggested years ago, you know, give yourself an eternal point of view or a place, and just find whatever mechanism works for you to stand aside and start describing yourself.
Stand aside and start describing myself.
You can stand aside and watch yourself.
14A.
Like on the cards with it.
You know how to stand aside because you're doing readings.
What's that?
Yeah, that's like, yeah. Andrew, it's like when I do readings, the same kind of phenomenon is I somehow shift my focus away from that rooted in loner self
right.
in a different place. And I think that's the same kind of thing that I do or did last week when I started talking about what it's like being me, is I just shifted over and observed and start talking about what I saw about the way what it's like being me.
Right, when you were doing something. So I put this in here as a, hey, you know, great, abiding self and promise and all that. Those are great words, but
no,
also wanted to...
You keep mucking around in those damn words. I asked you, what is it like being you? I didn't ask you any of those other words.
That is why I offered what I offered, because I just wanted to acknowledge that, yeah, that's where I am sometimes. That's what it's like living me. That's what, or being me. That's what it's, I guess that's
you haven't given us an answer yet.
What
is it like being you?
What is it you're saying that is like being you? I'm not quite following you, Andrew.
I said that when I said, like, it's like getting nervous and I feel like, you know, myopic or things are shrinking around me, I get a little panicky with that question.
Don't blame it on the question.
Like,
I asked what it's like
I'm
being
not.
You.
Okay, did I not answer the question?
No, you're blaming it on the question.
In describing that experience, that is not answering the question.
What?
Is it? Okay, I'm just trying to clarify. So in describing that experience,
you can describe that experience, but don't blame it on the question.
Okay, right.
Because if that's the case, then any question then becomes this problem with you. Anytime anybody questions you or if you question yourself, are you saying then it's like being you trapped that way?
Yeah, maybe. Sure. I think so. But I'm saying, you know, facing that question, and if that's still blaming the question, I mean, I'm just trying to acknowledge the activity that
you're
I'm
saying
there,
facing
so.
That question. You're blaming that question. And I'm merely
okay,
asking.
So if I said talking on the phone, am I blaming the phone?
No, you're blaming me from the other end of the phone.
Okay.
Let me pose another question. Do you realize that when you were a kid, you were living at least two people?
I think so, yeah.
You lived a cause and effect self relative to parents, school, and anything of that nature. May have been might be your religion, it might be Sunday school, but doing your chores was all cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And you were living by emergent when you went out to play or roller skate or go swimming or play with a dog. You were living by emergent. Mm. You're still doing the same thing. Anything that has a conclusion to it, you stumble and fall all over yourself with cause and effect. It's only when there is no conclusion, such as in emergent, that you are free to be yourself. That's why I'm asking you the question, what is it like being you? Or what is it like being you? I can't help you, or you can't help yourself, get to be the self that you want to be, unless you'll answer that question. And don't fall into cause and effect. Because we said the reason for the question and the discussion is because we said the other day that life is a process or an adventure or a trip, not a destination. But if you think you're going to be judged, questioned, there's a conclusion. So you pose this on yourself.
Okay.
Because then you, no matter what we talk about, you put out there a conclusion, and then you talk only in terms of cause and effect getting there and the judgments about that. You've lost yourself any freedom.
Oh, I see. Right.
Because you were
right.
There.
That's like looking for the answer, the acceptable answer, or something.
That's right.
A conclusion.
If it's anything to do with like school or where you think there is a right or appropriate answer, you shut down in terms of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
But you go out and play with a dog. There's no conclusion to that. You just play with the dog and enjoy it. That's emergent. You do it, and it is an emergent. Now, I'm trying to get you to say, what is it like being you, so that you can always be you, regardless of what is going on. Not only in certain specific ways, but regardless of the situation. That's what promise is all about. And that's what we talk about, living what it is like being you, regardless of who you are, or what the conditions and situations are. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time here.
May I clarify something?
Well, you can if you want to.
I misunderstood. I went back to the readings to find out the commonalities. So it's only the process stepping outside, like a reading, but not the reading
Simone,
itself.
The question is a personal question between you and I. I asked you, what is it like being you? There's not any go to anywhere to get a damned answer.
From me?
Yeah, what is it like being you? Can't you tell me that?
Obviously, I misunderstood last week.
Now, I'm asking you right now. Can't you answer that question?
I mean, years ago, I wrote down, my promise is always living and revealing that life is absent, good and evil, right and wrong. That was number 8 of the cards.
Yeah, but
that was
and
promise.
That worked.
That was
yes.
4 years later.
But this is just sitting there having a conversation.
We're just
having
a conversation.
Somebody saying something to you and saying, Simone, so, what is it like being you? There's nothing to look up. There's nowhere else to go. all you're going to do is describe what it's like being you.
Right now.
In right the moment.
At, right at that moment.
Uh-huh. So what is it like being you, Simone?
So a part of what is it like being me is create new things.
Is what?
Create new things.
Create new things that I like. Expand from things that I know.
I suspect you're answering more what you would like to be like.
Right, Simone. So, I mean, as I'm hearing the question on my end, I think it's just describe right now, like, what you're, experiencing. What is it like being you right now? No other kinds of answers.
I'm sitting here, listening to the conversation.
You're not answering the question. What is it like when you're doing that? What is it like for you when you're doing that?
It's kind of like sitting there going, well, it's confusing, though it's thought-provoking. I find myself spinning my wheels a lot, trying to figure out what is it he's really asking me? That kind of thing. That's what it's like being you right now.
Uh-huh.
If we got somebody on this phone that could ask the question in German, maybe it would help.
No, it wouldn't help.
I think so.
No.
Somebody want to ask that question in German?
Go ahead. Say it.
Dragon is supposed to be there. He asked earlier.
Yeah, but he may be having just as much problem with it as she.
Well, he can say, I don't want to ask the question in German. I don't understand the question. Can't anybody say anything?
I mean, sometimes I feel blocked and sometimes I feel inspiring in the conversation.
What in general is it like being you? I'm not talking about in the conversation. That's something that Andrew tried to narrow down.
He was just trying to give a fine point example.
Well, okay, I'm going to admit something here. A little bit of confusion, because when we started this last week with this particular question, what's it like being you? I mean, Pat struggled and asked for an example, and I think I remember one point Roger said, I asked the question wrong, was it like being you doing this? So that's what I was following.
But doing anything. The whole thing last week was about what's it like being you no matter who you are or where you are or what the conditions are. And when he answered, he said, when this occurs, I do that.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
He set the condition, so we know it under the environmental conditions that he set. But at least that's a beginning. I can't even get that.
So, Roger, what is it like being you?
Really goddamn frustrating right now.
Yeah, but we know that. But in general, because that's what we're trying to get away from the fine point right now. Yeah. In general, what is it like being you?
Expansive. Far bigger and more expansive than me sitting here.
Right.
That's what it's like. All the time. I have to squinch myself down to be here.
So it's like constantly reaching out and touching way beyond where we are here.
Right.
That helps. That's interesting. It doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah, but I was hoping that would help some people.
Right.
Okay, having
well, Roger said it was like being him was being expansive all the time. So I guess it, in general for me, it's always been like being, it's like having, I don't know, I've always a feeling of like great expectation, great excitement or enthusiasm for something in life. At the same time, not entirely clear what that is all the time.
Anything else?
That was in the broadest sense. Yes, sometimes it's like when I was talking to this gal a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about her job and talking about her growing up and her experiences and what she loved. It's like I could just hear this pattern clear as a bell through everything she said, so I started talking to her about that pattern. And she got so engaged, we got so engaged in looking at her life, it was like nothing in the world had changed, but nothing was wrong. I just felt like huge. I felt like I know exactly why I'm here. I felt like I was doing something, probably the most important thing in my life I could possibly be doing, just sitting there talking to her, and absolutely no discontent at all. It was amazing feeling.
Yeah, what was it like being you at that moment?
So,
my whole question in all of this is, what was it like being you at that moment? And would you be willing to be in that moment, in that way, in that moment, without discontent, as you said, all the time?
Right.
Would you be willing to be that and live that all the time?
Roger, so right. I feel like my entire life has been a reach for exactly that kind of experience. Meaning, just, gosh, I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, my back was a little achy, and I just had a job, and I mean, there were things on my mind, but no problems, no discontent. Expansive, literally, felt like out of my skin, just radiating out into the sky, and I don't know where it ended, but I just felt like everything was so clear, and I was so focused, and it was like I could feel myself, I could feel my body, and I could feel myself being also other, an otherness that it's more than just Andrew.
My question to you is,
biology. Yeah?
Couldn't you imagine yourself saying, hey, I'll go down there and live that, and that's your promise?
I think I did. I think I've always been clear about that, and I've had such a struggle finding a way to live it on a day-to-day basis. You know, honestly, I'll tell you something I figured out recently. You know, I traveled. When I met you guys, I was still in my traveling phase, traveled from Alabama and stuff and all that. I think I started running at some point, you know, to try and get this active, and I've been moving in a way ever since, trying to activate this sense or this feeling, and I just can't seem to hang on to it. Or live it constantly, or constantly. I don't know how to always put it in the
mind. Well, maybe that's not what it's like being you. That's a wannabe like.
Don't disagree. Exactly why I brought up earlier that yeah, it's like that sometimes, but a lot of other times, it's like frustrating, and it's like, too busy, overwhelmed. Right? I can't keep up with all the things I have to do. Everybody's yelling at me because I didn't do what they want me to do. It gets a little panicky sometimes. Yeah, that's what it's like, too. And there's like a dozen other, experiences I think I could explain to you that maybe putting all those together, you get a pretty good picture of what it's like being me day to day.
That would be awful.
What?
Roger, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead. By the way, while I got you on the phone, I found that other part of your declared self and purpose, that other folder.
Okay, great. My question about is that when I heard you speaking, I heard him say he was recognizing patterns. He just began recognizing patterns, and it sounded like it was a vast pattern or a universal pattern. Wouldn't that be part of what it's like being him?
Sure. He was probably recognizing his own old patterns, old problems.
It could be, but it sounded like she was quite taken with what he said, and they continued because it engaged her very deeply somehow. So what if he was accessing her universal pattern of her abiding self? And maybe that's what it's like being him. But he can't sustain that because he gets caught in self-judgment or fear of some sort. You know, that those are the kinds of things that I deal with people. They get stuck in old patterns that take them away from that moment when time stopped and communication went so easily and so clearly. So do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, no, you're telling me what you do. I don't know what you do.
No, no, I'm talking about what he said that is what it's like being him. Wouldn't that be what it's really like being him?
Not necessarily.
The universal pattern.
That's what he'd like it to be. He'd like it to have that situation continue.
Okay, so then...
So wait, that's what I'm trying to get clear about, Roger. I said I could probably name like a dozen, half a dozen things like of what it's like being me regularly. Are you saying there's one thing?
No.
Like one kind of? Okay.
No, but
isn't the light being us, the abiding self, you wanted us to talk about? No?
I actually, Angela, took the question just to be more, hey, right now, you know, drop of the coin, what is it like being you right now?
But that doesn't mean what is it like right now in this situation.
Oh, I
but right now, what is it like being you?
In life.
In life. In life in general. I always feel like I have to squinch myself down in order to participate. Do you want to say something, Patrick?
One of the things I was, in terms of having a look at what life is like right now in a generalized sense, I found that it shows up a bit with me, at least, in my self-talk. I think self-talk gives me a really good clue about what it's like being me.
Well, tell me your self-talk. Because that's where Angela wants to go. If you find your self-talk, we can say, can't you change that self-talk?
And that's always been the thing, because I found that a very strong influence on my even my behavior and action is the self-talk that I engage in.
What is the self-talk?
And the self-talk can flash through my mind with lightning speed. It's not at the same speed as we're talking right now. I will have an idea of something that I would like to do, either just for myself or one of my clients or with Karen or whatever. And I find myself doing a very quick, lightning quick analysis of whether or not it can work. And more often than not, I'm more than a little bit of a negative nilly about whether or not it can work. So
what you're doing.
When I say that, then that ends up influencing what I'm doing. And then I take steps away from what I'm sure other people would call expansive and protective stance, reduce the risk. I take action that will minimize the risk that I may face from other people's judgments or opinions. One way it shows up in the calls from time to time is that I don't talk. I would rather listen. The action is
safer for me. No, you'd rather run away.
Yeah, I go hide by not talking.
So a lot of what it's like being you is go run and hide.
That's right.
But see how important that is to know that.
Yeah. And it's not... If it's at all important, you know, I answered what I thought Roger was asking, but what I answered was what I would like it to be like being me.
That's what I said about Andrew.
Yeah.
And I said the same thing about Simone. But we're not interested.
Yes.
We're not interested in what you would like to do.
But I'm getting to understand now. Yes. The running away I'm doing too. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm not understanding because I can describe a couple of experiences of what I think it's like being me, and I don't. So if it's, I guess I don't know what you're looking for, because if it's not, like I say, if I feel panicky, and if it's not, if I feel expansive, and those are two experiences I have, what else should I talk about? You know, what else would get us there? That's what I'm asking.
Well, what actions do you take in face of your panic?
No, we're
well, I was asking you this
question, Patrick. What is it like being him? It's like being panicky. What's wrong with that answer?
Yeah, that's right.
But then I think I understood you to say it was looking for a little something else, too.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Right.
Fundamentally, in every situation, it's panicky. That's cause and effect.
Okay.
That you've switched into a destination or a conclusion into a judgment, into a right-wrong. That's where the panicky comes
really
from.
That's really interesting. That would be that's like this huge sign for me. Even like, so normally, I guess what I'm aware of is the like I can feel like my thoughts or I can feel my emotions or I can feel my
But you're going to be judged.
Right, which is sort of the problem with this conversation. I think that people are a little nervous about putting it out there because they don't know how they'll be judged. But
wait a minute.
My point
now,
is
now you're beginning to say you're imposing your panicky on everybody else.
No, I'm just saying. That's just a guess. But anyway, what I'm noticing is like what you just said is I guess I'm normally more aware of the feelings and not so much aware of hey, I'm doing cause and effect or conclusions.
You are.
It's really interesting. Right. But I'm saying it's interesting to know that when I feel that way, that's what I'm doing.
That's right. That's what I said. It's like going to school or doing your chores. Where there is a right wrong in terms of what you do.
Right, I see
when
that.
You were a kid, you did that by cause and effect. You seldom, except for playing with a dog or swimming or roller skating, lived by emergent.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you decide or trying to get a picture of what it is you want, conclusion first at the front end, you're already dead in the water the minute you do that.
Yeah. Right. I can see that.
Well, see how important it is to know then in this regard what it's like being you, and we now know certain things that provoke those feelings, or what it provoke
uh-huh.
those what it's like.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I also went to a future conclusion before, and that was bringing panic or
right.
blockade. Yes.
That's the same way as life is a destination, or in any moment
right.
is a destination, or a conclusion. You're going to be in deep trouble.
But I do have the other moments too, as Andrew, as you described before.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but you only do that when it doesn't matter.
With clients, for example, I do that, or I have really good situations, yes.
No, he said that you only do it when it doesn't matter. I don't know what that means.
Like I say,
probably when I feel safe.
Oh, I see, right. So if you feel like there's a right answer or performance, level of performance you have
there's
to
There's no
through.
Conclusion or result necessary.
No.
That's the only time you'll freely live other than, say, the panic of cause and effect.
So, right, I see that. So most of then my life is spent living that, cause and effect conclusions, but living emergently, or as, I guess, the constituents at a time.
And you're not willing to let that be okay.
Let what be okay?
That you've got the constituents you want.
Okay,
living the constituents you want isn't okay. You have to try and create the conclusions. Because that's religion's way of doing things. And then you're going to be judged for whatever you've done. That's where the panic comes in.
Right.
So the panic moment could be a moment of measurement.
Oh, man.
How I'm not.
It could be what?
Measurement.
What?
Measurement.
Measurement.
Judgment.
Or judgment. You're right.
Don't say or judgment. It's judgment. That's what you're afraid of. Judgment.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
When that
completely.
Occurs. That's where the panic comes in.
Yeah.
So here's
just,
all this conversation.
Can I ask a question real quick? Can I ask a question? Roger, can I ask a question? And this isn't, well, this is actually to anybody, including you, Roger.
You just scared everybody off?
No! Well, maybe you did. Wait, what I want to know is, just around the phone, I mean, you know, for anybody who hadn't spoken up yet, I'm just curious, you know, why not? Were you, I mean, why didn't anybody else speak up or give it a shot?
That's why I asked whether they were, this conversation made them afraid. But see how important that is?
Well, right, exactly. But, I mean, you know, without putting, I put it out there. You said I was imposing panic on everybody, so that's fine. Probably am. Just curious what other experiences people had answering this question or even facing this question. Nobody said anything. Pat did. Simone did. Trevone tried. Angela?
Yeah?
I mean, did you, what was going on for you?
When you were talking, or
no, he said anybody answer the question. I'm just curious. What about you?
I was listening because I didn't email him at all. I thought I was going to, and then I got busy and worked all day, so I didn't get to email him. So
just
I didn't
answer the question.
I didn't
Angela.
Speak up. You're right. But
you
I've been writing.
Because you didn't email him.
Yeah, I was going to email what it was like being me.
Well, speak up now.
I'm going to start naming names
in the live moment.
Okay.
Should I start naming names of people on the phone?
No, I'm doing that for you. This is so important that, and nobody's saying to Karen, Angela, come on. It's just me. You know, I'm not going to yell at you or say you did it wrong. I'm just curious.
Okay, I'm here.
Hey, this is Susan. I got in late. What was the question?
The same question we've been pounding about since you got on. What's it like being you? You didn't miss anything in that regard. Thanks for speaking up, Susan.
I sent my email in.
Not to me.
But just when you asked the question live tonight, what was going on for you?
When I wrote it?
No, now!
Oh, now! Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Everybody's like, they wrote an answer, they're looking for an answer, but I'm just saying right now. I'm just curious.
Just to get this clear, we only got one response, and it was from Pat.
So right.
If anybody else sent something, they
didn't send it
to us.
I sent it Forever Living, and then I put it to Abiding 808 email.
Well, I'll check
but
it again.
Forever came back. The one from the website kept coming back, so I sent it to Abiding 808.
Right. I'll check that one.
Wasn't it 808 Abiding?
Okay.
I'll look. See it's
Abiding 808, I think.
Abiding 808. Mm-hmm.
Is that the one you were using? What email are we using?
Yes, you can use that one.
Okay, all right.
the point is, what I'm interested in, what is it like being you all the time, regardless of what the situation is that you're in, no matter what's being asked or what's going on? That's what I'm really interested in, like. From the discussion of last week, if that's what is eternal, if that's what is continuous, while you are continuing, which is discontinuous, aren't you interested in knowing what is you are creating that is continuous? It's continuous in your life today and after this lifetime as well.
It's like attempting to be continuous all the time. Attempting to be continuing all the time.
Well, what I said last week is that's continuous. That goes on uninterrupted, unchanged.
So, Roger, in your term, in your description, so that expansive, you say, is what goes on all the time?
Did I narrow myself down? Yes.
Okay. I have to admit, I don't know if I have an ongoing experience like that.
Well, you do. You just aren't willing to say it, to acknowledge it.
Okay.
So does everybody else.
That's very intriguing.
It's not only intriguing, see how important it is. It's vital.
Well, and that was kind of to my question, that it's vital. And so, Susan, are you off mute?
No, I will. I'm driving. I'll go mute.
It sounds like it. Thank you.
We'll get off the phone.
It's so important. Yeah, it's so important, and I'm just... I can speak for myself and say when a question came up, I noticed the first reaction for me was panic, but it is important, and I'm just curious why nobody else answered or tried.
Okay, let's struggle on my try to answer. Sorry, I had some technical difficulties and I had to go offline for a while.
Thank you.
I think it is, in my experience, if that question comes up, some kind of fear is probably a good thing. Do I doing the right thing? But I think on a broader way, it is always comes up a feeling first, and then kind of what you're doing with it.
Any feeling or a particular feeling?
I think in any different situation, you might get a different feeling. If you're in a good spot and they ask, "Go, oh, I'm
Andrew,
feeling fantastic."
And also, Angela,
that you feel you have to go somewhere.
What are you willing to say it is like being him?
Did you say Andrew and Angela? What am I willing to say it's like being him?
What did I say? Well, Angela.
Okay, I couldn't hear.
And Andrew, what are you willing to say? He told you what it's like being him. You didn't listen. He goes offline. See, you took that as an incidental event, and I take it as a general answer to the question of what it's like being Tragon. He goes offline. Means he quits paying attention. He's no longer party to what's going on.
Okay. Roger, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay.
So, Roger, were you saying that what it's like being him is he goes offline?
And I got kicked offline for saying that.
Asking such a question.
Yeah, as I said to him, I said, isn't that interesting?
And I was still on, so.
Well, we've been talking about it, so. What we said is, what we noticed, what Trigon is saying, is that when he has a feeling or a thought, he immediately wants to decide, his action, to decide, what shall I do with it? You know, it's kind of like what to do with what's coming up, which I think, isn't that his action?
I'm trying to find out what it's like being Trigon, not what he says about that.
Oh, okay.
We can all justify ourselves one way or another all the time.
All right. So are you saying that he might be justifying what he's doing?
I think there's, if you're saying all these other things went on in a conversation, I'm willing to say those things are justifying what's going on. What's going on is he goes offline.
He goes offline. Okay, so you think he goes off his backsliding self?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by online? And it goes
because
off?
I'm fighting it inside.
Who he really is. Is that what you just implied?
So, yeah, I'm right now trying to understand what Roger just said or how
I'm
to
sitting
be
upright.
Great then.
Roger?
Yes.
So when you said that he went offline, were you meaning that he went off of being the real vast abiding self of him?
I think he stops listening or stops paying attention.
He stops. So, Trigon, can you relate to that? Okay.
I could see that it also could be a kind of...
That could very well be defensive, but whatever it is.
Yeah, like running away or whatever, you kind of, you don't want to have anything to do with. So, I guess what I tried to say earlier, I think if anybody... I don't know if anybody's correct, but I think a lot of us asking this question or get this a question asked, that it takes us really off guard and comes almost like a survival skill in it. So what do I do with it? What feeling is around? What do I have to do with it? Or you're going directly into your thoughts and then what I'm thinking about or feeling about this stuff, so I think it's the real survival instinct, run or fight.
So it sounds like each person in their own way, to some extent, does a running away or a hiding or avoiding of this question.
Wait a minute, who says?
Andrew, I'm just saying I've heard that tonight in different forms from people. Whether I panic and hide or, you know, go offline or somebody gives a, you know, answer from years ago, I don't know.
So that's the way you're living. Isn't that interesting? That's what it's like being you?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is, yes.
Isn't that the most important question in the world?
Yeah.
It is.
If anybody can come up with a more important question, I want to know about the question. What is the question?
But wouldn't it be correct to ask afterwards, what are you doing with that question?
No.
No?
I'm not interested in what you're doing with that question. I'm only interested in what it's like being you, that what you do.
Okay. So if I'm really getting that, I would I would have a different action next time if you ask me this question again. That's fair to say?
What's it like being you now?
I don't understand what he said.
He's going to give us a new answer now that he understands.
I don't want a new answer.
Oh, okay. I would have liked to have heard it.
What?
I would have liked to have heard it.
I just said you're going to give me a new answer. I don't want a new answer.
What I tried to say, isn't it that this answer should evolve over time? As we move on and get more experience or more data understanding in our lower body?
What I said last week was that's the only thing that does not change. What it is like being you does not change. So that's why I don't want another answer.
Okay.
That's continuous.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you can change that, then everything we said last week is a waste of time. And everything we have to say about promise is a waste of time.
But when you're emergent, Roger, doesn't everything change?
No.
Thank you. That was kind of my point.
So you said no?
I said no.
Can you explain that?
Well, you explain your question. I know
okay,
why.
Okay, when you're open to listening, taking new constituents every moment, and that's satisfies you to be satisfied with the constituents that you're selecting.
But one of the constituents is always going to be run and hide offline. So nothing is going to change. Regardless of what you think you are changing the constituents, you're not. That's always the point. We think we're changing a constituent, but it's not. It's the same old thing. It takes a different form, but it's still the same old thing. It's differently.
And the reason for that is?
Because you can't change yourself directly. That's a fallacy of every philosophy and teaching and religion that has ever existed. You cannot change yourself directly.
Okay, so how, and again, I know last week you told us that you can regenerate
your body. And when you regenerate your body, a self is emergent from that, but you can't change the self directly.
Okay, gotcha.
We've talked about that for a long many years. You're just doing the same thing from a different perspective, but it's still the same stuff.
So the only way to regenerate yourself is to dedicate yourself to what you would do eternally, which is your abiding self. There are two ways you said we can do it. Dedicate yourself to what you do eternally is one of them, right?
That's one of them.
And the other one, let me see.
You're changing your body, and then you are emergent from that changed body. What I said to you years ago, the universe doesn't want to put up with all this crap. So the universe kills you off. Now, if that's the way you'd rather do it, go for it. You wait, and I'll guarantee you the universe will kill you off. And then in, say, another lifetime, you'll have another parent-made DNA body and self. And you'll struggle with the same damn thing until you're willing to change the body. And in that, the self is otherwise.
So the only way is to dedicate yourself to your what you are willing to do eternally, which is
no. I even said that's why we use proud of. Do only those things that you are proud of,
and
then you are reprogramming your stem cells. So that's another way to do the same thing. I'm not saying those are the only ways. There are probably other ways. But those are the only two that we've talked about.
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought those were the only two ways.
No, those are the only two ways we've talked about.
Okay.
I did say you could emprise yourself, using the emprise as a way and manner to reprogram your stem cells and rebuild your DNA body, and then that reprograms your emergent self. So I can tell you of three different ways.
Okay. Cool.
But if you're not interested in doing anything but loner body stuff, and that's fine, that's okay, then I guarantee you the universe will kill you off and start you over again, like it or not. Too bad. There will be no sense of on your part continuing. There will be no sense of experiencing your continuing. You will always be beginning and ending, and that's okay. The universe will kill you off. I won't.
So then all those emotions and thoughts that are happening now are really irrelevant. They have
That's right. That's what I've said all along.
Huh. Yeah. I was really getting that in the last 2 days.
Because you don't carry all that stuff with you.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, emotions are judgments, are they?
Yeah, Simone, that's brilliant. It is. They are. So what it's like being you, then, is just a description of all that emotion, thoughts, beliefs, and stuff that isn't really regenerating us, right?
What?
So then the answer to the question, what it's like being us,
has nothing to do with emotions. What I said yesterday is, don't give me a lot of adjectives and adverbs. Feeling
okay.
Good, high, and I said you could use those as minor parts of what it's like. Like I said, expansive, meaning that I have to reduce myself away from expansiveness in order to be here. Or to be in any conversation, to be anything, I have to reduce myself to that conversation or situation. But I use the word expansive. So you can use the adjectives in that way. But what we normally do is we just say, give me a handful of adjectives, throw them at me, and adverbs, and think you've said something. You haven't said a damn thing. But you see, it's the most important thing that I think that you can ever understand about yourself is what it's like being you. And it makes sense of everything once you do that. Of course, I don't get
it. My abiding self is myself right now.
Yeah, but you don't understand what you just said.
Why you say that?
Because I don't think you do understand what you just said.
Go ahead, Simone. Talk about it.
I think I do. I think what I express right now, that's my abiding self. That's the abiding self is nothing greater than I am now.
But I don't disagree with that. That's true. But you would then say that you want to express otherwise or live otherwise or be otherwise.
No.
You want to be you just as you are?
Yes.
Eternal.
I got that several weeks ago, and I think, yes, that's okay.
Eternally.
Yes. And what I go with it is what I really like the actions being proud of, and that's my guidance, let's say, yes. And I'm sure I'm failing.
Well, I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this conversation. So, anyway, I was asked to say something about promise. Let me list some individual promises of promise. You can discuss these as we go along. You cannot pray for, offer, or actualize, or call upon the power of promise for self or others. It must always be lived, or it will not be available. For each person alive in the universe is the power of promise. It's the power and life of promise. Does anybody understand that? Promise is your way of life. It isn't you're accustomed to using the English language as promise is something you do or achieve. It is not an end result. It is the way you're living your life. It is, and that is your religion. That is your promise. That's the promise you made before entering this lifetime.
Yes, agree.
And the promise you made was to live what it's truly like being you. And so now I'm asking you, well, what is it like being you? And are you living that? And we're essentially coming up to a lot of that is a big struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question comes by, if that's a struggle, is that the struggle you want to continue living, being, that you? And what do you want to do about it? And this was all a prelude to stem cells, stem cells, meaning what you can do about it. You can't do anything about it directly. You have to do it indirectly. Change your body, and that'll change yourself. But you can't change yourself directly. You can't modify your behavior and become somebody new. All you've done when you modify the behavior is you're doing the same thing in a different way. And you think you've modified your behavior, but you haven't. You're doing it in a different way. But that doesn't mean that you've modified your behavior at all. Number two. So, promise is a way of life. It is not something that you have like the power of God or a force or something that you can handle or work with. It's the way you live every part of your life. And though you've always been taught otherwise, that it's a thing that you do or achieve, or like spirituality, or walk a spiritual pathway, or be be spiritual or do spiritual things. You can't do that with promise. And the reason you can't do that is because you are the essential nature, principle, and agency of promise. What you do is what you promise. That what you do and how you live, that's your religion. That's the way it is for you. That's how you are, and that's what it's like being you. Promise asks you to actualize what is appropriate. By that, I mean, but live yourself and life beyond all that has ever been taught or believed before this day. Appropriate has nothing to do with what we've been taught about being appropriate. Means live your life beyond everything that's ever been put out there about good, bad, right, wrong, appropriate, inappropriate, desirable, or undesirable. Live beyond those dualities. Live your life entirely beyond that. And that is appropriate. The purpose of promise is to awaken you to grander ways and promises of self and life. And you can only do that by living beyond anything you've ever been told before. And that's the purpose of the M-Prize, to get you to live beyond anything you've ever thought of before. Promise asks you to actualize, Promise is an exercise in imaginative minding, not of reasoning or languaging as you are accustomed to. Relax and reimagine yourself with the realization and power of promise. How would you reimagine yourself? Reimagine does not mean what you would like to be. Reimagine is reconstruct yourself. And so what I've asked you before, would you like to reconstruct yourself to being how you would be willing to be eternally and be proud of that? That was the offer. That was the... If you only live those things that you'd be willing to do eternally and those things that you are proud of, that would be reimagining yourself. Promise is an exercise in, do not expect to enter promise in a state of meditation. It cannot be done. Promise is a state of activity that enables the universe to react and change everything. And this brings promise realization to you in your daily personal life, self and life. Communion with promise in everything you do. Do not hold back. Could you understand promise being the same as God? Only it's an entirely different in that it is you. You are promise in action. You are the promise of promise. And promise is divine. Promise is not a truth. It is a promise that your personal and eternal promise, source, and strength. It is your personal and eternal source and strength. And so what I'm asking here is you to become not one with God, become one with your promise. To be one with your promise to be as you truly are. What it's like being you. promising, concentrating on and dedicating yourself and life to an emprise of promise will expand and extend yourself and life immensely, and you will prosper accordingly. Love does not activate promise. Promise activates love. Actually, love is promise in action. Are you beginning to understand that everything about promise is an action? There's not any words.
Yes.
There is no disharmony in the physical world. The seeming delusion of disharmony is life without promise, and that is real enough. In living as a loner being, you seem to have a love for pains, problems, and afflictions. Promise is a form of memory. It holds everything in the universe together, though not as a oneness, only as a communion of individual promises. In the view of promise, you are not insignificant. You are a tremendous and everlasting promise of the universe. Promise is not what you say it is. Promise is what you do. And that commands the universe of promise. Anytime anybody wants to discuss anything, or I can just keep reading these and then we'll just quit. Of course, everybody understands everything I'm saying, right?
Of course.
Yeah, sure.
Very clear. Well written.
It is not true that you come alive with nothing and will take nothing with you. For you came alive with promise and will take with and leave with far, far greater promises.
I'm sorry, say that last one again.
I said, you came with promise, and you will leave life with far greater promises.
That's what I thought you said, far greater.
Can I ask a question about that, Roger?
Yeah.
Heard you say that about three times tonight, something like that, and I'm curious.
I can't hear you, Andrew. We got a lot of cross conversations going on.
So heard you say that a couple times tonight, and I'm, you know, the first time you said what you come to life with, though you use the word promise, I was thinking that was the loner body, maybe promises of my parents and forebears.
Well, you sacrifice your promise for your loner body. And for, that's why I asked you what it's like being you, because you sacrificed you for your loner body. For the emotions and feelings of loner body.
That I can understand, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Promise is not...
So I want to understand this. So that since this is my first and only life, and I never was alive before, and the DNA of my parents created this self, I have promise. I am promise, or something like that. Where does promise come into that?
Well, you promise to come alive as what it is like being you.
I think I can follow that.
You came alive with a body, a DNA body, with feelings and emotions, and you sacrificed everything that you were for a goddamned emotion or feeling, good or bad.
That's great.
And so unless we know what it is like being you, you have no way to realize what you sacrificed.
Okay.
Promise does not judge you or behold any injustice in you. And this is not love. It is a promise of promise. And you cannot separate yourself from promise. Do not equate God to religion. Only promise is religion. And your promises are your religion. Promise is a way of being fully alive, and that has been ignored for centuries. What I'm trying to suggest here in all of this thing is that you, as we talk about a personalized God, are you willing to personalize promise like a servant or a companion, someone or that you can talk directly to?
Oh, that's interesting. So, Roger, is promise there fully formed, or is it something that is emergent and different as I live? Each thing that I would do forever and ever.
All you do is, yes, you flush out promise, or you work against it. That's why it's important to know what it's like being you. And when I say what it's like being you, I have said all along, what we're talking about is what it is like being you eternally.
Okay.
Because otherwise, the universe is going to kill you off. Like it or not, too bad.
You think when I was a young'un, I knew more clearly what it was like being me?
That's probably true.
Okay.
And your problem today, to a great degree, is you know that your loner self that you're living is not what it's like being you, not really what it's like being you. That's why it's so damned important for you to answer this, or to at least consider this question. Or as Socrates would say, examine this question about yourself and life. What is it like being you? You've struggled against that all along.
Right. And you know, I was thinking as you were talking here, I remember this early memory I had as a kid watching this show of these couple firemen. You probably remember it, Emergency One.
I tried not to watch it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, I loved that show anyway when I was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, but by the time you were 3 or 4, I was already 40 or 50.
43. Or, yeah, 40 something. Yep.
So what about the emergency?
Well, anyway, I'm just saying it was like, I guess I was really into that thing of these guys running around having adventures saving people.
So
I don't know if
that's
what it's like being me, or I don't know if that's what I inherited from my parents, you know, from the DNA.
What do you think?
Man, that's a really good question. I think that's a really good question.
Well,
I almost believe you either way.
What?
I said I'd almost believe you either way.
Which way do you want to believe it?
I guess I want to believe that it's me.
What, running around saving people? You want to believe that's you?
Something about that has stuck, I guess, yeah. I don't know. Well, see, I know that's so, like, so my parents, that's so the whole Catholic religion thing. I don't know.
Remember
I did it for a long time.
Remember the story in the Forever Living book? I said I dealt with a healer. So she said she would always do that eternally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And every time I came, said, if I come back to you, would you heal me?
Yep.
Finally, she said, no. Well, I said, well, what would you do rather do? She said, teach you how not to sick yourself in the first place.
I vote for that, yes.
So.
That's right.
Would you rather, in a sense, show people how not to need to be saved, how to live without being saved, rather than saving people constantly?
Yeah, right. I think I'd far rather show people to...
Saving people is the response of your parents of Catholicism.
I know, and that's so habitual in my system, damn it. But I think I'd far rather help prepare the way for people to live what it's like being really them.
And then they don't need saving.
No, they don't. That's the point. Okay.
That's the point of this whole question of what it's like being you.
That's right. That's
truly
that's
live
cool.
What it's like being you, and you don't need to be saved.
That's right. That is so cool.
That's what all last week was about.
So what it's like being me, then, or anybody's like being them, is probably there, and it's sort of interlaced with a whole bunch of other loner garbage, tradition, language, religion, stuff like that.
But you see, you don't really know that as long as you're still living a loner self.
Right.
Your loner self is the panicky. That's your parents.
I know, Raj. Come on. Who do you think I'm thinking about tonight?
Think about your mother's illness.
Absolutely, that's what I'm thinking about tonight, yes.
Of course.
It's like, wow, no kidding, that's where this came from.
And she's passed that on to you.
No kidding.
And that's your loner self. That's
right.
What it's like not being, it's not what it's like being you, it's what it's like being a loner self.
That's right. That was what Misty brought up earlier, and that's a great point.
But that's the point of, say, regenerating your body and self to abiding, so that then you can really understand what it's like being you.
Okay, Raj, so here's a question then. Is it possible that your awareness of being expansive and having to narrow yourself down right now to participate in this conversation with me is clearer to you because you've been living the constituents you would do forever and ever consistently for a longer period of time, and I've been reacting. So it's not as clear to me. Is that possible?
Or is it possible that you have not even considered the idea of changing your body to and self to abiding at all? Or how you would choose to be eternally. That's not an issue with you. Your religion screwed that away all along.
Okay.
And you struggle against cause and effect all the time.
All the time. Conclusions, right answers, any form of
that. When you start off with a conclusion or an intention of that in that way, in most cases, you're dead in the water right away.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt when we first faced the question tonight. Yep.
Well, if nobody's interested in this question, then there's nowhere to go, because that's where I'm going. And I guess nobody's going to go along with it. So there's no sense in my bringing up anything on Monday night, because that's where I want to go.
Then everybody should really think about it and send us emails relative to it.
What is it like being you? And recognize that your answer, no matter what it is rather what it's like being you as a loner being in that regard.
That's right. That's all I got to tonight.
So if you want to get off of being panicky, you got to regenerate your body self. And experience that, and then experience what it's like, really like being you.
Okay.
But you understand all of this, Angela?
Yeah, I'm taking notes. It's wonderful.
And if you don't have a beginning start in all of this, use the original book that everybody got. It called Your Declared Self and Purpose. And just rename that Abiding Self and Promise. And you have the whole book there. And it was a pamphlet that I gave out with this. They work hand in glove. And you're going to have problems when you start off first, because you're thinking with a loner mind. You're thinking panicky like Andrew's mother. So you're not going to get away from that. But that's what regenerating your body is all about. You regenerate yourself. And when you do that, then you can begin experiencing what it is really, really, really like being you, rather than being a loner you. Well, maybe that's about all we need to say tonight. There's a lot more promises of promise.
Mm-hmm.
That one of these days we'll get this booklet finished and put it up or send it out to everybody, and you can read it longer for yourself.
That would be nice.
Uh-huh. It just keeps getting longer.
Yeah. I was just wondering yesterday, like, when's this thing coming out? Did
it's
I miss
expanding.
It? Yeah, I thought I missed it.
Yes, he's finding it hard to continue.
That's what I say. I get very difficult for me to narrow things down.
I can imagine.
Well, you could just keep adding parts.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Have no fear. That is going on.
Parts are here. But if I'm wasting my time, I'll go add parts and not worry about what we're going to discuss on Monday night. I'll just add more parts to the book.
Oh, we'll send you a bunch of emails. That'll keep you going.
Whatever. We'll see.
We will see.
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Roger, Misty.
Okay.